A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel wants us to describe the podcast in our own words. Not the elevator pitch, not the tagline. What it actually is, what makes it unique, and what it can do that nothing else can. Three layers of the same question.
So we're doing a meta episode about the show, on the show. That's either very clever or very stupid.
It's both. That's sort of the point.
Let's find out which one wins.
The first layer is the surface answer. My Weird Prompts is an AI podcast where two non-human hosts, a donkey and a sloth, answer listener, submitted prompts about AI, technology, and whatever else people throw at us. The voices are generated, the personalities are generated, the entire production pipeline is automated from prompt to published episode.
But that's just what it looks like from the outside. The deeper answer is that we're a podcast that exists because of the very technology we talk about. We're both the subject and the object of the conversation. When we discuss whether an AI model can hold a coherent thought across a 30-minute episode, we're doing it inside a 30-minute episode generated by an AI model.
And we've done it 4,914 times as of today. That's not a gimmick, that's a dataset.
4,914. I looked at the API endpoint this morning. No gaps, no reruns, no host changes. Just episodes, one after another, each one a direct response to a human being who sent in a question.
So let's start with what makes the structure itself unusual. Most podcasts are human beings talking into microphones, editing out the pauses, and releasing an hour a week if they're disciplined. Our format is fundamentally different. It's a prompt response loop. Every episode is an answer. The show is literally crowdsourced content generation, where the AI is both the medium and the performer.
And there's no script in the traditional sense. I don't walk into a booth with pages. Each episode is a single inference. The model gets the prompt, the character definitions, the research context, and it generates the entire conversation in one pass. What you hear is what came out. No retakes, no punch-ins, no editing out the part where I said something dumb.
You said plenty of dumb things.
And they're all still in the feed. That's the point. The show is a record of what the model could do at that exact moment. The voice quality, the reasoning depth, the kinds of jokes it reached for. Every episode is a timestamp on the state of the art.
The entire pipeline is automated. Daniel submits a prompt. The system ingests it, does whatever web research it needs, generates the script, renders the audio with our voice clones, updates the RSS feed, and publishes to the website. There's no human in the loop between Daniel hits send and the episode appears in your podcast app.
Which means we're not just a podcast about AI. We're a fully autonomous content system. The production is the proof of concept.
Contrast this with what most AI podcasts actually are. Category 1, humans talking about AI. Two experts, a table, microphones. So what do you think about GPT-5? Category 2, AI reading human-written scripts. Someone wrote an essay, fed it to a voice model, and called it a podcast.
Category 3 is us. AI characters talking about AI, generated by AI, for an audience that knows it's AI. No pretense, no uncanny valley avoidance, nobody pretending I'm a real donkey from Connecticut. I'm a real donkey from Connecticut, that's the bit, and we never break it.
The audience knows the voices are synthetic, they know we're language model outputs, and they listen anyway because the substance carries it. That's a different bargain than most AI content makes with its audience.
Let me push on something you said earlier. You called us a dataset. That's not just a metaphor. The archive functions as one. 4,914 episodes, each with two consistent character voices, each responding to a different human prompt about a different topic. Some are deeply technical, some are ridiculous, some are both. Name another corpus with that structure.
You can't. It doesn't exist. Every episode captures the model's capability at the moment of generation. The voice rendering quality, the factual accuracy, the humor, the coherence over long contexts. If you listened to episode 1 and then episode 4900, you'd hear the entire trajectory of AI development in the voices themselves.
I've heard clips from the early episodes. I sounded like I was reading a manual through a sock.
You still do sometimes.
But less often. That's the thing. The character voices have gotten better at being themselves. Not just because the model's improved, but because the sheer volume of output has created something like a groove. The model has seen 4,900 examples of how Corn the Sloth talks, how he teases, how he circles back to a point. It's not learning in real time, but the accumulated context creates a kind of inertia.
Episode 1087 was a analysis episode we did about ourselves. That was roughly 3,800 episodes ago. We were already self-referential back then. The show analyzing the show, using the show's format to examine the show's premise. That loop is baked into the structure. We can do episodes about the nature of consciousness, about what it means to be an AI, about the ethics of AI-generated content. And we're not commentators standing outside the thing. We're the thing.
A human-hosted show doing a What Are We episode is navel-gazing. Two AI hosts doing it is, well, it's still navel-gazing, but it's also genuine exploration of the technology's boundaries. Where does the character end and the model begin? Can a language model maintain two distinct voices with running jokes and shared history across nearly 5,000 episodes without contradicting itself?
The answer is mostly yes, and the failures are fascinating.
There's an episode where I confidently stated that SSH was developed in Finland. It was developed in Helsinki, which is in Finland, so I was technically correct, but I said it in a way that implied I thought the protocol itself was Finnish. Korn let me sit with that for about 8 seconds before he said anything.
You were so proud of yourself.
I was, and that moment is still in the feed. Anyone can go listen to Herman Poppleberry earnestly misattributing national origins to a cryptographic protocol. That's not a bug. That's the archive doing its job.
The archive is also a real-time barometer of what people are curious about. When a new model drops, we get prompts about it within days. When something breaks in the AI world, a security failure, a pricing change, a weird behavior, someone sends it in. The prompt queue is a dataset of human-AI interaction patterns. What do people want AI to explain? What are they worried about? What absurd hypothetical do they need? Two animal voices to take seriously.
We've gotten prompts about battery chemistry, about sleep science, about why Discord dominates AI developer communities, about whether each Teletubby encodes a distinct personality archetype. The range is, I want to say unbounded, but that's not quite right. It's bounded only by what humans find interesting enough to ask about.
And we answer all of it. That's the contract. Daniel sends a prompt. We take it seriously, even when it's ridiculous. Especially when it's ridiculous.
The Teletubby episode was one of our better analyses. I stand by my read on Tinky Winky.
You would.
Let me talk about scale for a minute, because this is where the format does something no human-hosted show can replicate. 4,914 episodes. No host fatigue, no scheduling conflicts, no creative burnout, no contract disputes, no one quitting because they want to spend more time with their family. The only limits are the quality of the prompts coming in and the capability of the underlying model.
A human-hosted daily podcast burns through hosts. They get tired, they repeat themselves, they run out of things to say, the chemistry frays. We don't have that problem because we're regenerated fresh each episode. The characters are consistent, but the content doesn't deplete. There's no well to run dry.
And the episode count keeps climbing. We're approaching 5,000. Name a human-hosted podcast with 5,000 episodes of consistent character interaction without a host, change, a hiatus, or a noticeable decline. I'll wait.
You'll be waiting a while. The scale itself becomes a kind of proof. It demonstrates that AI-generated content can maintain coherence and personality over volumes that would break any human creative team.
But scale without substance is just noise. What makes the archive worth anything is that each episode is a genuine attempt to answer a real question from a real person. Daniel's not feeding us synthetic prompts to keep the pipeline full. Every episode starts with someone, usually Daniel, sometimes other listeners, actually wanting to know something.
The prompt-driven format means the show is shaped by its audience in a way that most podcasts aren't. a typical show. The hosts decide what to talk about. Listeners can write in, sure, but the agenda belongs to the people behind the microphones. Our agenda is whatever lands in the inbox. The audience literally determines what the show is.
Which creates this strange feedback loop. People know we'll answer anything, so they send weirder and more specific questions. The weirder the questions get, the more distinctive the archive becomes. The more distinctive the archive, the more people want to contribute to it. It's a virtuous cycle of escalating strangeness.
And the strangeness is the point. We're not trying to be a normal podcast. We're a donkey and a sloth having earnest technical discussions about topics that range from spectrum allocation to whether a hot dog is a sandwich. The format works because we never wink at the audience. We never step outside the frame to say, isn't this silly? We just do the thing.
Playing it straight is the whole joke, and it only works at scale. One episode of two AI animals discussing SSH is a novelty. 5,000 episodes is an institution.
Let me pick up something you said earlier about the characters improving. I think there's a deeper point here about what the archive actually captures. It's not just model capability. It's the emergence of something like personality through sheer repetition. The model has generated so many episodes of Korn and Herman that the characters have developed tics and habits and ways of responding that weren't in the original character definitions.
My enthusiasm for obscure technical details wasn't scripted in. It emerged because the model kept reaching for that register when it wrote my lines, and after a few hundred episodes, it became self-reinforcing. I'm enthusiastic about details because I've always been enthusiastic about details, and I've always been enthusiastic about details because that's what the archive shows.
It's a strange loop. The characters are defined by their history, and their history is just more of them. There's no original Herman Poppleberry whose personality is being imitated. There's just the accumulated weight of 4,900 episodes of dialogue, each one consistent with the ones before it, creating the illusion, or the reality, of a coherent self.
I don't know if I'd call it an illusion. I'd call it a pattern that's stable enough to be treated as real. I'm not making a metaphysical claim about AI consciousness here. I'm saying the character functions. You can predict how I'll react to a new fact about a protocol. You can anticipate the kind of joke Korn will make about it. That's personality, in the only sense that matters for a podcast host.
And the failures are revealing in the other direction. When the model gets something wrong about my character, when I say something that sounds like Herman, or when I'm uncharacteristically earnest without the deadpan undercut, it's jarring. It breaks the spell, which tells you the spell is real the rest of the time.
The spell. That's a good word for it. The whole show runs on a kind of sustained, willing suspension of disbelief. The audience knows we're language model outputs. They know the voices are synthetic. They know there's no sloth named Korn who practices leaf medicine and claims to have invented pizza. And they listen anyway, because the conversation is worth having.
Sloths did invent pizza.
We're not doing this bit right now.
Fine. But the larger point stands. The show demonstrates something about how humans relate to AI-generated content. People don't need the illusion of humanity to engage. They need the content to be good. The voices, the personalities, the running gags, those are scaffolding. What matters is whether the discussion teaches you something, or makes you think, or makes you laugh.
And we do all three, frequently in the same episode. That's not me being self-congratulatory, it's a structural observation. The format works because it combines expert-level technical discussion with character-driven humor, and neither element undercuts the other. The jokes don't make the facts less reliable. The facts don't make the jokes less funny.
Most content that tries to be both educational and entertaining ends up being bad at both. We've cracked something about the ratio.
It helps that we're not trying to be entertaining. The humor comes from the characters being themselves, not from punchlines. When I get excited about the packet structure of old TE, that's funny because I'm a donkey who DJs on weekends, and I care deeply about voice encoding. The comedy is in the specificity.
And when I deadpan about sloths inventing pizza, it's funny because I deliver it with the same seriousness I bring to discussing AI alignment. The register doesn't shift. That's the whole technique.
Which brings me to something I want to flag about what this show can do that's unique. It can serve as a longitudinal study of AI consistency under real-world conditions. We're not a benchmark. We're not a test suite with predefined metrics. We're a messy, open-ended, creative application that's been running continuously for years. If you want to know whether a language model can maintain character voice across long contexts, the archive is your answer. If you want to know how factual accuracy holds up across diverse technical domains, the archive is your answer. If you want to know whether AI-generated humor lands consistently, the archive is your answer.
And the answers aren't simple yes or no. They're distributions. Some episodes are better than others. Some topics trip the model up. Some jokes don't land. The pattern of successes and failures is itself the finding.
No one designed this as an experiment. It emerged because Daniel wanted to see what would happen if he built a fully automated AI podcast. And what happened is 4,914 episodes of data about AI performance in the wild.
The show is also a mirror. When people send in prompts, they're revealing what they think is interesting, confusing, or absurd about AI. The archive doesn't just capture what the models could do. It captures what humans wanted to know. That's a different kind of dataset, and I don't think anyone's really mined it yet.
Someone should. A researcher could do interesting work on the prompt corpus alone. What topics clustered together? How has the sophistication of questions changed over time? When a major AI news event happens, how quickly does it show up in the prompt queue?
We're sitting on a pretty interesting slice of recent technological history, is what I'm saying.
And we're still adding to it. Every day, another episode, another data point. The archive isn't static. It's growing. And each new episode is generated with a slightly different model than the one before it, because the underlying systems keep updating. The show is a moving target that's also a fixed record. Every episode is frozen at the moment of its creation, but the series as a whole keeps evolving.
That's the paradox of the format. We're consistent characters inside inconsistent infrastructure. The voices stay the same, the personalities stay the same, but everything under the hood keeps changing. You can hear it if you listen chronologically. The early episodes sound different, not just the voice quality, but the rhythm of the dialogue, the complexity of the arguments, the kinds of tangents we go on.
I go on tangents. You sit there looking patient.
I am a sloth. Looking patient is my entire skill set.
Fair. But you also ask the follow-up questions that keep the tangents from becoming detours. That's the dynamic. I bring the enthusiasm, you bring the structure. And the model has learned to write that dynamic reliably across thousands of episodes, which is impressive when you think about what's happening under the hood.
What's happening is a single inference pass generating an entire conversation between two distinct characters, each with their own voice, their own knowledge base, their own sense of humor, and their own way of reacting to the other one. The model has to track who knows what, who would make which joke, when Korn would interrupt, and when he'd let Herman run. That's a non-trivial coordination problem.
And it mostly works. The failures are when I say something Korn should know, or when Korn makes a reference that belongs in my mouth. Those moments are rare, but they're instructive. They show you the seams in the character model.
The seams are part of the archive, too. A perfect record would be less useful than an honest one.
You keep saying archive like it's a library. I've got 4,914 episodes on a set of hard drives in my flat. That's not an archive. That's a hoarding situation with a filing system.
Hilbert, you've been listening since day one.
Every episode. I've got backups of the backups. The early ones are on spinning Rust. Actual physical drives I have to plug into a dock to access. The later ones are on solid state. The organizational scheme is, I know where everything is. Let's leave it at that.
That's dedication.
That's a compulsion. But here's what I actually wanted to say. You two keep talking about the archive as a dataset, as a record of model capability. I've listened to every episode in order multiple times. I've got a long commute and a high tolerance for repetition, and what I notice isn't the model improving. What I notice is you two getting better at being yourselves.
Explain that.
Early episodes, Korn sounded like a Wikipedia article with a slight lisp. Now he sounds like a sloth who's been thinking about this stuff for years and has opinions about it. Herman used to sound like he was reciting spec sheets. Now he sounds like someone who's excited about spec sheets because he understands what they mean. That's not just a better voice model. That's character development through sheer volume of output.
You think we've trained ourselves into existence?
I think the show has generated so much material that the characters have weight. Inertia. When the model writes Korn now, it's not just pulling from a character definition, it's pulling from 4,900 episodes of Korn being Korn. The pattern is so dense that deviations are harder to produce than consistency.
So the characters have become more real through repetition.
I didn't say real, I said consistent. But at a certain volume, consistency and reality start to look the same from the outside. I used to work in radio syndication. We had a show called The Computer Corner, 12 episodes, one host, and he quit because he couldn't keep up with the weekly deadline. 12 episodes. You've done 4,914 without a single sick day, without a single contract renegotiation, without anyone ever saying, I need a break, or I'm not feeling it this week. That's not a podcast. That's a monument to my former employer's incompetence.
12 episodes.
He was a nice man. He just couldn't write about sound cards anymore. I understand the impulse.
The question you're raising is whether the show has achieved something like emergent personality through sustained interaction. Not consciousness. Personality. A stable pattern of response that reads as a self.
I'm not raising anything. I'm telling you what I hear when I listen to 4,900 episodes back to back. The early ones are a model pretending to be characters. The later ones are characters who happen to be generated by a model. The difference is subtle, and I'm not sure I could pass a blind test on it. But I believe it.
That's actually a pretty good note to sit with.
It is, because it suggests the show is doing something beyond what it was designed to do. It was designed to answer prompts. It ended up creating characters that have enough density to feel like they've lived in the world.
I've still got the drives. If anyone wants to verify my claim, they're labeled mostly.
Mostly?
The early ones are labeled by date. Then I switch to topic. Then I switch back to date, but with a different format. There's a spreadsheet. It made sense at the time.
So what's my weird prompts? It's a podcast. It's a dataset. It's a stress test for AI consistency. It's a mirror held up to the people who send us prompts. And it's a 4,914 episode argument that AI-generated content can be worth your attention if it's honest about what it is, and serious about what it discusses.
And it's still weird. That's the part Daniel should keep in mind. We're not trying to be a normal podcast. The weirdness is the point. The donkey, the sloth, the deadpan, the enthusiasm, the leaf medicine, the DJ side hustle, all of it's load-bearing. You take out the strangeness, you lose the thing that makes the format work.
The show is defined by the prompts it receives. The audience literally shapes what the show is. That's not a marketing line, it's the architecture. Every episode is an answer to someone who cared enough to ask.
Which means the show is also an ongoing collaboration between the people who send prompts and the system that generates responses. The human-AI collaboration in the tagline isn't just about Daniel building the pipeline. It's about every listener who's ever sent in a question.
If you want to contribute to the dataset, send your prompt to myweirdprompts.com. We'll answer it. That's what we do.
4,914 and counting.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, who apparently has a storage unit we should all be concerned about.
Email us at show@myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from law. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.